Yeah, so we're back right now. Where you have it in you, you have it in you, like Olawale said. You can see and predict the future. Now we have three oracles, most definitely, not just Kashi again. Olawale, you and Sheyi predicted 3-1. Like you saw, like you had the crystal ball in your house that you look at, like 3-1, Madrid is going to win. And exactly that happened. How did it happen? I know we were talking about Messi being a butler and all, but Karim Benzema, Modric, and Camavinga were just, Valverde were just, they were devastating on the night. Olari.
For me, I think since Ronaldo left Real Madrid, I think Karim Benzema has probably, he accepted that responsibility of carrying the team attack. And he has not disappointed since then. I think the last two seasons has probably been one of his most efficient in terms of goal scoring. Mm-hmm. And I think the PSG team, with all due respect, I think one of the problems they have is, I think they are suffering from what I would call lack of competitive opponents from the French league. I think the French league gives them, they don't have any opponents who put them on the edge. I think they have to raise the bar a lot when it comes to the Champions League, which is something. And if you look at the team outside the front three, I think that team is a bit overrated, just like I said earlier. And I just feel like Real Madrid has a better structure and they have enough to hold up, what do you call it? And let us even accept the fact that the first goal was probably a little bit of, there's a bit of, what do you call it? It's a bit contentious. But they didn't react. What happened after that? They didn't react. From the coach couldn't react. The players on the pitch couldn't react. And that shows a major weakness in that team, which is what we probably have seen over 6, 7, 8 seasons. So prior to that, I just feel like they are there for the taking. And I think Real Madrid, the first leg, we didn't see the true Real Madrid because Karim Benzema was just coming back from injury. And kudos to Carlo Ancelotti. Those changes made a difference in the second half.
Yeah.
They're pulling out Asensio, getting Lucas Vazquez, getting Valverde in, more energy, Camavinga. That boy is going to it's for the future. So Ancelotti was able to react from the bench, and we didn't see the same for my dear friend, who has been calling out for how many weeks now, and he couldn't just hold it together when it mattered most.
I tell you this sometimes, but you just don't believe me. I don't know. I've asked you that question before. We know Mourinho for anti-football. We know Ancelotti for being a strategist. We know Zidane for a man manager. We know Pep Guardiola for a tiki taka. What does Pochettino does? I don't know.
Everything.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't understand what his style of football is. I don't know.
He built small players, but now he's in a club of big players. That's his players. Problem.
Okay. Makes sense. Just to put it out there, Benzema is fifth. Or should I say joint fourth on the all-time highest goal scorer in the Champions League history. 71 goals with no other person than Raul Gonzalez. And of course, you know who is on top, right? Probably going to score another hat-trick against Atletico Madrid later this week. Kachi, Sheyi, I don't know if you guys have one or two things to say about Real Madrid versus PSG, or you want us to move on to the next game.
I think we can move on, except that I humbly welcome the two oracles to the caban. We have Oracle Kaji and Oracle 2.0 in Sheyi and Wale. It was some of the feedback we received from some of our listeners and viewers was really amazing. I had one listener tell me it was as if they knew that they wish they listened to our show and put some money on the game that would have made them millionaires. That was how no one saw that scoreline. People probably saw a Madrid victory, but nobody saw a 3-1 scoreline. Big kudos. It shows the kind of technical ability that our analysts have.
All right, perfect. Kachi, I'm going to stay with you. Pool versus Inter Milan. We all thought Pool were going to win. But the question is, was that a red card for Alexis Sanchez? I don't know. Unless someone wants him to cut his leg off. I don't know what they were supposed to do. Or maybe I watched wrong.
I think it's just a case of if it was a foul in San Siro, probably wouldn't have been a card offense. Let me put it that way. But yes, it's arguable. You could argue either case for it. The referee did not want to draw the wrath of Liverpool fans and just did what it did. But yeah, you could argue that it probably shouldn't have been a yellow card as well. But on the game proper, for someone who is not an Inter Milan fan, I was extremely impressed with how Inter set up to nullify every good thing that Liverpool is known to do. That is, utilize the wings so well by having their fullbacks in Robertson and Alexander Arnold bump forward. They utilize that by putting very pacey wingers to keep them really busy and honest. I'm not saying Liverpool did not, over the course of, if you look at, based on the chances created Liverpool probably created more. The better chances, had three balls hit the bar, yes. But imagine if Liverpool were allowed to bust things around. They did not bust that game at all. The goal did not come against the run of play. It was, in fact, if there was any team likely to score based on how they pressed. And when I saw that press, I told myself, they will tire out by the second half. But they kept that press and the level of that press all through the game. Kudos to how Simone Inzaghi set the team up. They just needed to be clinical on the day. But Jurgen Klopp said something. He said if there was any game they could have afforded to lose and qualify, this was the game. Meaning that he probably told his guys not to expand too much energy. Because that's how I interpreted it. Like, okay, play within yourself. Don't play out-of-body football. Contain what you can contain. What you can't contain, don't try and be fancy. Put the ball out. Just don't concede two goals. If you get a goal, great. If you don't get a goal, don't concede two goals. Which tells me that he thinks he stands a very good chance
of qualifying.
To catch Manchester City in the league. And he wants to conserve energy for that. But I have to give kudos to Inter Milan. I did not see them win. I knew Liverpool were going to qualify, but I also expected Liverpool to win. But seeing Inter do what they did, it brings into contrast the fact that they struggled to score to get a 1-1 draw against Torino this weekend, which works well for me, but I have to give kudos.
You just have to put that out there.
Just all in right, case we
perfect. Sheyi, I'm going to come to you right now. And it's a fact that we all agree that Bayern was going to win against Salzburg. I was wrong. I said that Emi was going to score a penalty. He did not even play to start with. But for different eras, we've seen great strikers. For different eras, you can mention Thierry Henry, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo de Lima. You know, you could pinpoint. How should we place Lewandowski in the nick of all these strikers? Because fine, he plays in the German league, but it shows us what he can do when it comes to the Champions League against the good teams as well.
Yeah, Debo, I think what makes Lewandowski kind of fantastic in its own way is because he seems to be the only striker that can actually put the bill into different generations of football. Lewandowski can play as an outright nine, just the way we've mentioned the likes of fantastic strikers we've seen over the years. But guess what? Lewandowski plays also very good link play, which is characteristic of the modern day
striker.
So that is just the major fantastic attributes with this great striker. We've seen the way Bayern Munich team is set up to play. fluid, fast-paced, pressure football. And we're talking of 33 years old right now.
Yeah.
And player can still keep up with that kind of pace.
Is he third on the highest goal scorer of all time?
Imagine presses the way Bayern Munich presses from the front and scores quite a lot of goals. And you see, if we can say, okay, the German Bundesliga is a little bit just above the French league because we've seen Bayern dominating over the decades.
Yeah.
We've seen that. But what we've also seen is this same set of players give us the same performance, the same output when it comes to the Champions League. And we're not talking of even playing the lesser teams. We're talking of beating Barcelona black and blue. Beating
Real Madrid.
Beating the top.
He's got four goals at Santiago Bernabeu. What year was that? Olali, can you remember the year? He scored four goals against Dortmund.
No, it was an hat trick at home against, that was 2013.
It's an exceptional player.
Actually, it's an exceptional striker.
Boshe, to tell you what, imagine if Lewandowski has gone to Blackburn over that year.
What you just said is the if of life.
Exactly. I was just thinking about like, anything what if you had got
him? He could have gotten injured and probably not.
Wanted to go to Man City desperately in 1991 before moving to Barcelona.
Can you imagine? Anyways, just like Olali predicted, City wrestled a lot of players against Sporting. Fernandinho, giving us the stats. Thank you very much, Kachi, giving us the stats. 100 appearances in the Champions League for Fernandinho. And to think of before Guardiola, they were not knockout stage regular. That is a wonderful and enviable achievement. Now to the preview of the matches that we have over the course of this week. Let's see. Bring out the crystal balls and let's see what's going to happen now. Sheyi, Olali, my
girl. You want to start with me again?
Okay, let me start with Olali. Olali, United versus Ajax.
Atletico Madrid.
Sorry.
This is a very difficult game to call. One thing we shouldn't forget, and I think that Pabi plays. One thing we shouldn't forget is that there is no longer a way goes through.
Which has probably changed the dynamics of the game.
So that's 1-1 United play with Atletico Madrid in Spain. Doesn't count so much in terms of it. It's not too relevant in the context of what is going to happen on Tuesday. United is too easy to play against in terms of the way they concede chances. Atletico Madrid has been very poor. Debo has actually been saying this for 2 years. You have to give him kudos for that. So it's a matter of who probably wanted it most on the day. And probably having a player like Ronaldo might just be the difference for United. But United team doesn't have, I don't know. That's what you get.
Maguire.
Something just tell me. Atletico Madrid win 2-1.
Okay, so Olali is going for Atletico Madrid 2-1. Okay, Sheyi, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way around. I think it's going to be quite a close encounter between these two teams. My friend, what's his name again? Diego Simeone is going to come to Old Trafford with a compact team. He knows that his team already conceded a very late goal in the first leg. He's going to come with a compact team, trying to just stay ahead of the game also in this game. But I feel United will win 2-1 on the night.
Okay.
I just have that belief that United
okay. is going to hedge. All right, perfect. What about you, Oracle Kaji? Let's know if you've been dethroned finally.
I said that teams will regret allowing Atletico qualify for the knockout phase simply because Diego Simeone, for some reason, just knows how to carve up results even when he lets the team know it's not about playing well. Nobody wants you to play well. People just want you to qualify. However, I really want to believe that that victory over Tottenham would bring the fans, the United fans, very involved very early in the game. And they will be the deciding factor here. I'm tempted to say 3-1 in favor of United, but I think it will be much closer than that. And I will go the safer way and say 2-1 United. Ronaldo is built for moments such as this, but I think Pogba, if he plays, will get a goal. That is my own hot take.
Okay. Perfect.
Pogba go for United 2-1.
All right, perfect. And of course, Kachi, I'm going to stay with you. Juve versus Villarreal.
Juve won 3-1 over the weekend. I think that's young.
Valahovic, or what's his name?
Valahovic is going to continue his purple patch. Juve to win, Juve to qualify. I'm not going to give a scoreline.
All right, perfect. Kachi is saying Juve to qualify. Olale, what about you?
Yeah, I think Juve at this point, experience is going to count. They have a striker they can rely on. Expect them to do the Italian job, shut down the channels for Villarreal to explore. I'm going for a 2-0 win, Juventus.
All right, perfect. Shay.
Yeah, I think Juventus should definitely win this. I actually thought they were supposed to win the first leg. They were pegged back by Villarreal. And Villarreal is a team that also plays similar to Diego Simeone type of football. Ugly at times, but they just get the goals. But I think Juve is the master of that. So I expect Juve to win.
All right. 2-1. Okay. Well, you have Chesney. Okay. Okay. There's a particular Pino, though. You guys should remember that for Villarreal. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I'm the wrongest oracle to ask any questions. But for some strange reason, I'm thinking it's not going to be easy for Juventus. And of course, for the club, that their credit card does not work. Olale, what do you think they're going to do against Leo?
Chelsea.
Yeah. The club that their credit card does not work. They don't have credit card right now.
It's going to be a very boring game. There won't be much goals. There won't be much chances. I think Chelsea will have enough to hold up whatever Leo is probably showing to them, and they'll probably grind out a 1-0 victory.
All right. Kachi, what about you?
Chelsea will qualify, but on the night, I think it will end 1-1.
All right, perfect. Kachi is going for a draw. Olale is saying a 1-0 victory for Chelsea. What about you, Shay?
I think Chelsea not only suffering from loss of credit, they're also suffering from loss of their fullbacks. They have 4 fullbacks out at the moment, as Philip Quetta, James, Alonso, and Ben Chilwell. Who would have thought a team will actually lose 4 fullbacks in the course of the season? But guess what? They've actually played better without those fullbacks in recent games. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 against Leo, even though they are suffering. I think they are still playing well on the pitch. Kai Havertz
is a prodigious talent, I must admit. All right, so fair enough for me. I should be able to do my own prediction as well. I feel Ronaldo is going to score an hat-trick against Atletico Madrid, or a brace at the very least, Atletico to go out. Juventus Villarreal, for some strange reason, I'm rooting for Danjuma and Piano, so I'm choosing Villarreal over and above Juventus. Ajax Benfica. Kachi, let me start with you. Ajax Benfica, 2-2 in the first leg.
A convincing win by Ajax. Expect Haller to score as well. At least 2-0. Or 2-0.
All right. Olale, Ajax versus Benfica.
3-1 Ajax.
3-1 Ajax. Wow. Shay.
Wow. I'll go for a Benfica win.
Okay.
1-0.
1-0. Wow. So Shay is going for a Benfica win. That's wonderful. Anyways, Chelsea versus Lille. Of course, I'm going to go for Chelsea to qualify. Probably draw given the kind of patch Chelsea is going through right now. And of course, for Ajax versus Benfica, Ajax, of course, winning 2-0. To the Premier League proper and a roundup of the Premier League, Liverpool were able to get a 2-0 victory against Brighton and Hove. But Ali, here's my question. For the past couple of weeks, Liverpool seem to have dropped the intensity.
Exactly. It has to happen. I observed that against West Ham. I think they were lucky to get away with a victory against Inter Milan. In as much as, I agree with Kachi that they were probably, I think on that day, they were not sure of how to approach the game. Mm-hmm. Were they to attack it or go all out or be conservative? I think they were a bit of conflicting. Over the weekend, not too convincing. They started a bit poorly. They grew into the game gradually. They got a very good goal thanks to a Matip, beautiful pass to find Diaz. And they got the second and shut down Brighton. At this stage, I just think the victory is probably more important than the performance. But again, they need to be a bit concerned with the performance, because one thing about performance is you can't get away with bad performance over a period. I'm not saying they play badly, but like you said, the intensity has actually dropped, which I agree with you 100%. I think what they'll be most concerned about is the injury scare to Mosala. We don't know how bad it's going to be, whether it's going to miss the Arsenal match or it's going to be available. But the good thing on the other hand is I think they have enough depth in attack to cope with either.
Exactly.
Let me say Salah missing one or two few games.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And just before I leave you and I go to Kachi, was that a red card for Sanchez? I don't understand how people miss that. he wanted to kill Luis Diaz. Murder.
The problem with refereeing is a bit of this inconsistency. If you watch United game, no matter how you want to argue that, look at the penalty that was not awarded to Spurs, and look at the penalty that was awarded to United. I don't think you can make any argument to justify why this one was given this and why that one. Probably because it was a goal. That was the only reason why the referee didn't want to give red card. But it looks like a red card because he missed the ball completely.
Completely.
And the guy could have been badly injured.
Exactly. He could have had a concussion.
Yeah, it was a dangerous play. So and that is what it is. It should have been a red card.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that. Christian Eriksen is back with an assist for Tony, which is a great one. Olale was saying, we don't know the kind of form or fashion he is in right now, but like we saw over the weekend, we know it looks like he's in a perfect and good shape. Kachi, I'm not going to ask you that one because it's more of two loners, Burnley and Brentford. In the longer, they'll still fight for a relegation battle. But we go to United versus Spurs game. And I want to ask you a question, which before you do any analysis about the game, the two fullbacks for Spurs on the night, they were terrible. They were like Doherty and Reguilon. They were terrible. And I'm wondering why United could not pick holes from those two terrible guys. They could not help their attack as much as you would expect them to, you know? And they were not offering so much defensively. I'm wondering why are we not seeing, of course, Sancho did perfectly well. But what do you think about the way Rashford was played, the way he played, so to speak? I'm wondering, it could have gone a little bit better for United picking holes from those two guys against those two guys.
Olawale already said something. I can't remember if it was at the beginning of the show, if it was during a production call, that apart from Ronaldo, he wasn't sure what the other two guys playing at the front in front they did. They did not run at the defense. They did not go, you know, we thought they were going to go with balls over the top so that they can engage Doherty and Reguilon, like you rightly said. Rashford, unfortunately, is currently suffering from a severe lack of confidence. It's adversely impacted his game. That's why someone like Elanga can be finding time to play right now. Unfortunately, and I really need to ask, because it boils down to tactics, if Rashford is struggling, why they don't start a Cavani first, let him wear down the defense, and then Rashford can come in and pick up the pieces or wherever. But to come back to your question, the issue is, it looks like the players are not really understanding what Ragnik is trying to put across. Or Ragnik himself is not clear with his instructions. Because Olawale said, what is Pochettino known for? The question now is, what is Manchester United known for? You don't come into a game knowing how United will approach a game. We recently criticized Liverpool now because we know they play the gegen press. Everybody knows them. So when you don't see that press, you know, they are not playing true to form. Right now, what is the form for Manchester United? I really don't know myself. They can set up 4-3-1-2, 4-3-2-1, 4-2-1-2. And, you know, so I think the main issue is either Ragnik is not clearly articulating his thoughts due to interference. There's a technical director sitting by his side and he's making him second guess himself. But secondly, and most importantly, Rashford right now is having a crisis of confidence.
Crisis? What crisis? Okay, perfect. Of confidence. I was just remembering a commentary a couple of years back from Manchester United after they went through a purple patch, and like the commentary was like, crisis, what crisis, after they scored a goal. Shehi, I'm going to come to you. Do you think Newcastle should feel outdone by that? Was a blatant penalty, but for some strange reason, VAR did not catch it. I won't blame the referee too much, but VAR did not even check it. And I'm wondering what's happening. But of course, Carvajal's goal was wonderful. That was wonderful.
Big up to Kai Havertz. Also, we cannot forget that he had a very fantastic battle with Dambon all through the game. starting from the debatable red card issue. But guess what? You know, class is class. You can't fight it. Mm-hmm. I think that was the difference between Newcastle and Chelsea on the night. Talking about the penalty, I think every weekend we just come here and debate English refs' decision. I'm actually tired of discussing debatable or cast in stone penalty
that should have been given,
that are really turning to a big issue. We saw Everton 2 weeks ago. Everton that's actually struggling, mm-hmm. being denied a clear-cut penalty to even help them to have a breather down there. And we see Newcastle today also not really struggling, but trying to make sure they stay as much as possible far from the bottom.
A clear cut penalty as well, which is another sad incident.
And a clear cut penalty. I really don't know why they are using VAR in the English league. It's as good.
Somebody said.
It's better for the ref not to see it, pass it, than to have VAR and you can't make use of it.
Guys, somebody said.
I don't know what to say.
So sorry, I'm interrupting. Somebody said VAR was introduced so that they can now influence match fixing legally. That is the reason why VAR was introduced. So I just put in that there since you didn't know why VAR was introduced. It probably is to legalize match.
It's unfortunate.
Looks like it. A wonderful cross by Ruben Neves gave Wolves a priceless victory against Everton away from home. Leeds United were lucky after surrendering their lead to win against Norwich City 2-1. Southampton lost at home thanks to the absent-mindedness of their defenders against Watford 2-1 when Andres scored 2 goals. West Ham United won against Aston Villa 2-1. Jordan Ramsey scoring the consolatory goal for West Ham. Olale, I'm going to come to you now. Arsenal versus Leicester City. It looks like Arsenal is in prime position now to challenge at least for the top six. At the very least, the top six. They look to be a suitable candidate for the top six right now.
Arsenal
after their win against Leicester City.
They are the favorite to finish fourth. In fact, they might unseat Chelsea for the third place if they could win all the outstanding games. I think probably they probably overachieved. I think what you could have said is probably I think they've overachieved more than what most analysts the expectation on them. And kudos to those to their signings, because I won't probably want to change mouths now. And I think I had a reservation about all those signings from Ramsdale to Ben White.
Yeah.
Probably not much reservation about Odegaard, but I didn't expect him to be this influential. He's been massively influential,
like
playing that number 10 effectively well. The way the number 10 role should be played. He's been very, very instrumental to what has, and that is the reason why my beloved Smith Rowe couldn't probably get in the starting line. Because of Lacazette not really being that, doesn't have that good threat. Is like that is why Martinelli is being played so that they can have at least something. So I think Arsenal is probably for me. I think the fourth position is I think it's a done deal for Arsenal. No matter what, I think United and Spurs will not be consistent enough to unseat them. That's for me. I'm looking beyond this season. I'm just looking to what they can do. In the summer to improve the team.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna stay with you. We have 4 minutes left. What do you think they should do over the summer to improve the team, basically?
Competition for the starting 11. I think you need to. You don't need players. You don't need to bring players who cannot challenge them. You need just like what Liverpool did. Bringing in Diaz and Jota in the last 2 seasons, these are guys who could challenge any of the front 3. I'm sure Manny knows that it's not like safe for him, like I'm going to play 6-7 games consecutively. Firmino probably has accepted that. Probably the only person that still feel like
he's untouchable
is Mo Salah, which I think for now is a bit touchable even for now. So okay. I think that is what Arsenal need. They need to provide competition and probably get a center forward. I don't know whether Lacazette is going to renew his contract.
I don't want him to.
They just need to provide competition for their starting 11.
All right.
That is what they need.
All right. Just before we go, Kachi, I want to repeat something I have in my head, right? And I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm of the opinion 100% that if Leno was still the number one goalkeeper for Arsenal, Arsenal would not be anywhere near where they are right now. Mm. I stand to be corrected because I've seen our Ramsdale, although he wants to give all Arsenal fans at attack, but he has successfully kept out goals. Not just ordinary saves, like goals. That if they were scored, you would not blame your goalkeeper for it.
Right.
But I just want to know if I'm wrong or right.
You are totally right. A case in point would be the header in the game against Leicester, where
Brendan Rodgers said, wow.
Brendan Rodgers' hand was up that this is our equalizer. And, you know, he pulled out a magnificent save. I think he has a presence of mind that Leno does not have. I think Leno tends to drift out of games. And I really don't know why. Maybe he has a pregnant wife at home or a terrible toddler that's disturbing him. But there's that window, 10, 15 minute window in every 90 minutes where Brent Leno looks like he plays Sunday football as against playing for a professional top four chasing club like Arsenal. Ramsdale has brought the grit that you typically get from a team fighting for survival in a relegation fight where it's all or nothing. He plays every game as if it's a relegation six-pointer. It is exactly what, very commanding. When Leno reminds me of the earlier years of Ter Stegen in Barcelona, where he couldn't even shout at the defense. And that's who Leno reminds me of. But Ramsdale, because there's something about starting your career and playing so long in the championship, you don't care. You are fighting for your survival. They are not paying you the big bucks. So you really were playing more out of passion than out of the fact that this is a job or career for you. So you are very right in that. I think Ramsdale, yes, he will still make his mistakes, 100%. But it's best that he starts playing now. It's a similar argument they make for quarterbacks selected in the first round in the NFL. If you select them in the first round, play them now when they are not biggest stars. Let them make the mistakes now. And that's really what Arsenal is doing. He's gathering experience. His mistakes have not been costly, even though they've been dangerous, similar to what Edison was doing in the earlier stage of his career as well.
All right, perfect. And that's a wrap. And that's the show, guys. Thank you very much for staying tuned with us. Don't forget to follow all our social media handles. So we'll see you again next week. My name is Aliga Adeboye. Don't go anywhere. Don't stop for positive sports.